Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see all of you. I want to welcome you. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and it's great to have you here with us, whether you're here in the room in Centerville or whether you're Springboro in the south, Northmont to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics, and many that are joining us online here in the Dayton area and around the world. If you hear my voice crackling a little bit, it's either because of the warm or the cold weather that's turned warm and cold, or because of the Bengals. I'm not really sure which one it is. But nonetheless, congratulations if you're a Bengals fan. It's awesome. Just bear with me in my voice a little bit here this morning. We're in a series called I Am New, and what we're looking at in the Gospel of John, we're looking at statements that Jesus makes, that as he makes these statements and we begin to understand who he is in his character, then we then can say, I am new. As we start a brand new year, there might be something that sparks in you that you would say, you know what, I want to do this year differently than last year because of who Jesus is, because that's what Jesus wants to do. I think you know this, but let me make sure it's clear. Jesus wants to transform us from the inside out day by day. So as we start a new year, there's no probably better time to think about that because he does want to make us different this year than last year. And so as we understand these I am statements, which are covenant statements, which are statements that Jesus is saying, I am God, you are not. I am what you need. I am the one that's going to help you in life. That's what all these statements mean. And so everybody hearing these statements back then in the first century would have known exactly what Jesus is talking about. For us, we need to dig a little deeper, and that's exactly what we're doing as we're in the book of John. So I hope you brought a Bible with you, no matter where your campus is or where you're at, grab it with me, and would you turn with me to John chapter 10. John is in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark. Say it with me, church, if you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so turn to John chapter 10. We'll be there in just a second. And if you're also wanting to know, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. You can sort of find your way there if you want as well. And then we're actually going to go back to the Old Testament, all that in one message. That's amazing, isn't it? My wife and I, we love to do things that are filled with thrill, and we love to try new things in our life. And so a number of years ago, we decided that as we were on vacation, because we always like to go on vacation, just the two of us, as we've raised four sons, we believe that our marriage is the best gift that we can give our sons. And so we actually spend time, just the two of us, away. And we decided on a day when we were on vacation in another country that we would go on a zip lining tour through and on the treetops in the Mayan rainforest. And that was a lot of fun. You strap in and you go on these lines and you're way up in the air and it's scary and you're flipping upside down if you want to. And even if you don't want to, you're flipping upside down. And then the second half of the day was, in my mind, even better because you went four-wheeling. They put you in a little buggy, strapped you in, and Kathy and I were able to ride together, and we did that for hours. And it was a beautiful sunny day when we did the zip lining. We had lunch and then we headed over to the buggies or the four-wheelers, whatever you want to call them, and it started raining, which means this is even going to be better. I brought some pictures, actually. Would you like to see some pictures? These are actual pictures of us. It started raining, and here we were. We got into this four-wheeler, and they strapped us in. The rain was coming so hard that they said, you know, you probably should wear goggles. That probably should have been our first clue right there, because Kathy kept leaning over to me and saying, are you sure this is safe? And I'm going, no, this is probably not safe at all. It's exactly why we're going. I mean, let's go, you know, and she was with me, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but literally she has white knuckled right there on the dashboard as she's watching as we go. And the rain came, which made it muddier and muddier, which was even better for the day. And as we kept going, it just got muddier and muddier, and we were going through these potholes, and it was absolutely amazing going through the Mayan jungles. We'd just been on the treetops, and now we're going through the mud, and it became so filled that we couldn't even hardly see as we're driving. We literally had to throw our clothes away at the end because it was so muddy and so bad, we couldn't wash the clothes, and so we just threw them away. And we had an absolute blast that day. But some would say, pretty risky, not very safe. How many of you, by raised hand, would say you would love to do this? Doesn't matter about the safety. Let me just see your hands. Wow, that's awesome at the Centerville campus. How many of you are like, that is just not safe. I am not going to be caught dead right there. Okay, some of you, that's okay. You can be honest about that. My wife was probably there with you. Safety. You know, what's interesting is when you read these statements of Jesus, the statement that we're going to study today has everything to do with your safety in your spiritual life. Jesus makes a statement that at first glance doesn't look anything at all like what you and I would even imagine. And Jesus is talking about your safety and my safety in our spiritual lives. And so this is the statement that he makes in John chapter 10. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, not many of us know anything about sheep, unless you've had a farm or unless you know farmers or unless you had, you know, flocks or some kind of animals in your life, or maybe you live out in a place where you have some land. Not many of us really understand that, but all of us understand the metaphor of a door. We understand that there's doors that you walk in and out of, and you understand that there's some doors in your life that you can remember, right? If you've ever traveled to Europe, you probably have seen some of the great architects, architectural buildings, some of the churches that have beautiful doors. One of the doors that I remember in my life the most is the door between our garage and our kitchen. And the reason for that is just because that door is a door where my four sons, when they were little, in middle school and on up, they've been raised and coming in and out of that door. It's amazing, before we painted it, and actually we got another door, there were handprints way down here. And then the handprints got about right here. And then it was up here, and then way up here. And now they're as tall as I am. And so the dirt on the door was just amazing, because as you watched it, you're thinking to yourself, that's about my family right there. That door is really important. Now we have a new door because the boys are gone, and there's no more handprints that are there. And yet when you think about this, you understand the idea of a door. You understand that God opens doors and closes them. And so when Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, he's speaking about our safety in a relationship with him. Take your Bibles and let's turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7. And then we're going to go back to verse 1 in just a little bit, but I want to start with verse 7 because this is where Jesus says it. Now, I don't know if you were here with us last week or not, but we looked at the statement that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he made that statement in context of two miracles. The second miracle that we looked at in chapter 9, which if you haven't read it, I really encourage you this week to go back to chapter 9 and read it. In chapter 9, we see a story of a man who was born blind. Jesus saw him, had compassion on him, and said to him, why don't you go down to the pool and wash your eyes out, as Jesus spit into the dirt, and he made a little mud pie and put it on the guy's eyes. He did that. He went to the pool and came back, and he was able to see. And of course, the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders, were like, how did that happen? I mean, this can't happen. I mean, this is on the Sabbath, number one. And secondly, this doesn't happen. You know, this must be demonic. This must be a problem. And so they interview the man who was blind, and he says, yeah, I can see. And they interviewed his parents, and his parents said, yeah, that's our son. And then they interviewed the man a second time, and at the end of their interview, they didn't like what he had to say, and so they pushed him out of the synagogue. And so in chapter 10, the conversation is still happening there. What we're going to read here, as Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, is relating to the blind man and the fact that he got sight. And he was pushed out of the synagogue, pushed out of the temple, because this whole scene is taking place in the temple during a festival that we talked about last week. If you missed it, you can go online and catch up with us. In the middle of chapter 10, we learn that there's another festival, so we know that the situation changes for a couple of months. But in chapter 10, the very first couple of verses, we learn that Jesus is saying something, but it's relating to the man born blind. Are you with me so far, church? So let me read it for you, and this is what Jesus says in verse 7. Let me read it for you, and then let's see if we can unpack this and understand. So Jesus again said to them, in other words, he'd already used this metaphor in the first 6 verses. Now he's not going to use a metaphor. He's actually going to talk about the application of this in your life and in mine because of the character of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, the word truly, truly means pay close attention. You better not miss this. So Jesus is saying, listen up, listen carefully. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. He's speaking of the Pharisees. He's speaking of people who are saying, you know what? You can have a relationship with God if you just do the right things, and if you come to the temple and do the right things, if you come to worship and say the right things, if you read the right things. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not how it works. So that's the context of all of this, because they're still in the temple. Verse 8, all who came to before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Verse 9, I am the door. He repeats it. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. How many of you have ever heard verse 10 before? Somewhere in the context of church or somewhere, you know, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that you have my life, have life. That's not in the context of speaking of the enemy, Satan himself, although it works, because that's what he wants to do. This is all talking about how people and events and situations will try to rob you, and Jesus wants to give you life because he's the door of the sheep. If you forget everything else today, don't forget this, because I believe this is what Jesus is saying to us as he makes the statement, I am the door of the sheep. I think he's saying the safest place to be is in a relationship with Jesus. The safest place that you could find yourself in life is in a relationship with Jesus. No matter what you go through in your life, the safest place you could find yourself is in a relationship with Jesus. If you're thinking about your life and you're thinking about the events and you're thinking about the world events and you're thinking about viruses and you're thinking about all these kinds of things that are happening all around you, the safest place you could be is to find yourself in a relationship with Jesus. And he tells us why that is in these verses. Jump back up again and let's take a look at verse 9. He says, I am the door. Anyone who enters by me, because I'm the door, he will be saved. So the first word you might want to write down here in terms of the safest place being in a relationship with Jesus is salvation. That because Jesus provides salvation, you will be in the safest place because of him and in a relationship with him. Salvation meaning that you and I have a broken relationship with God. I think all of us know that. And if you don't, make sure you know that you have a broken relationship with God. I have a broken relationship with God. And it's because of Jesus, because he's the door, that as we enter in by him, he saves us so we can have a restored relationship with God. That's the beginning place. And so you should not listen to anything else that I say or that we read here in John chapter 10. If you're here and you are not sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should just ask yourself the question, is it important for me? Should I do this? Should I give my life to him? Because the safest place you can be is in a relationship with Jesus because he provides salvation. What's interesting, though, is that the salvation is not only in restored relationship. The salvation is that God provides salvation for you in every arena of life. That during a COVID era, we can find our salvation through Jesus Christ. That if you're dealing with a really hard situation in your life, you can find salvation through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're praying for something in your life. God will be your salvation in that point of time. So we see that in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Second word you're going to want to write down is the word provision. The safest place you can be is in a relationship with Jesus, and here's why. Because not only is he your salvation, he provides for you. He provides what you need, when you need it, and the way you need it. Which is really amazing, because a lot of us think, you know, we're pretty smart, we're talented, we have lots of gifts and abilities, I got a good job, and so it's really interesting in life, because if life could not be going better for you, the problem with that is, it's easy to forget God. If life is really going bad, and perhaps you might find yourself in the worst season of your life, it's very easy to blame God. So you can forget God, or you can blame God. And what he tells us here in this statement, I am the door of the sheep, is that the safest place you can be is in a relationship with Jesus because he will provide for you in every season of life. So in verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The question for us is understanding the protection, because the word abundantly there for us in the Western culture means something very different than what Jesus was explaining here in the statement, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. So he says there's lots of things out there that are trying to rob from you. Your job may try to give you fulfillment and satisfaction in life, and you're not going to find that there. In a relationship, you might find that in a marriage relationship that you don't need anything else in life. You found the person, and therefore that relationship is the safest place you could be. Nope. The safest place you can be is in a relationship with Jesus, because he's the one that brings protection and provision and salvation. That's what Jesus is saying in these verses here, because he has in his mind this blind man who had been blind his whole life and could see. And now the Pharisees are all around him saying, no, that can't happen. I mean, there's something gone wrong here. And so then they kick him out of the synagogue. They kick him out of the temple. And Jesus is trying to address this. The question, though, for us today is this. If the safest place for us is to be in relationship with Jesus, then how does that happen? What is it that you and I can do as sheep, since he's the door, to find that safe place in life? What does that look like for us? Well, Jesus tells us in the first six verses. So jump up to verse 1, because we'll look at verse 1 through 5 and through 6, rather, and you'll see in here that Jesus lays out through a metaphor exactly what the sheep need to do. Meaning that if you're in a relationship with Jesus, you are, by virtue of the character of what Jesus is saying here, you're the sheep, he's the shepherd, and he's the door. You with me so far, church? And so that's what he's saying. Verse 1, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. There's a lot of things that will happen in life that will tell you that you will find the greatest amount of fulfillment, or that you can find favor with God doing this or that. And Jesus says, no. Those are like thieves and robbers in your life. Verse 2, he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. Whoa, underline that. Because this is how you will find safety in a relationship with Jesus if you are a sheep. First thing is this. There's three of them. First is that we need to recognize his voice. That the sheep need to listen to the shepherd's voice. That because Jesus is the door, he wants us to recognize his voice. And you think to yourself, well, how do I recognize his voice? And what does that look like? And how can we understand that? When our family would go on vacations many years ago, when the boys were a little bit younger and they were still young men and not adults, we would often go to my in-laws, Kathy's mom and dad, because they had a lake house. And it was awesome to go down there. They have since sold that as they've retired and needed something a little smaller, lots to take care of. But we would go down there, and there's this big house, and it was on a hill, and there was docks down there by the water. And does anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Just house on the lake and a lot of fun. And dad bought a boat. It wasn't a fancy boat, but it was a boat that we could tool around in. And then one Christmas, he gave a jet ski to all the grandkids, my boys and Kathy's siblings' kids. And so we had jet skis down there, and it was a lot of fun, and they had a big dock, and people would swim in. And what was really interesting is that we would sit on the deck looking over top of the whole, you know, lake a little bit, and the kids down there, and all the adults would sit up there. And you'd hear the kids, I mean, lots of noise and screaming and hollering and playing fun. And you'd be sitting on the deck, all of us adults, and all of a sudden, one of the kids would scream. And the mother of that kid knew exactly who that kid was and knew exactly what that scream meant. That mother would stand up and run towards the dock, because that mom knew that that was not a playful scream. That was not like, hey, we're having fun scream. That was, I'm a scared or something happened. And that mom would get up and run toward that child. And it was amazing to watch all of that, because I'm thinking, wow, these moms, my wife included, they all know the sound of their kids, the voice of their kids. They hear that voice. It's the same thing for me when, with our little dog. We have this little dog, and I've showed pictures before of Boba. Boba's her name. And little Boba, when she makes a noise, I know when she makes a certain noise that she wants to go outside. I know a different noise that she knows that one of us has come home. There's another noise when somebody's trying to deliver a package. And there's yet another noise when there's the black cat that we have somewhere in the backyard that keeps coming back there. I know what that noise is. It's amazing because I know the voice of this little, and Jesus is saying the sheep recognize his voice. You might want to jot this down, because what Jesus is saying is the defining quality of my followers is that they recognize my voice. The defining quality of you as a sheep is that you recognize the voice, that you recognize Jesus's voice. Of course, the question then comes up, what does that voice look like? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas. Certainly, you can probably come up with even more than this, but let me give you a couple of ways that we hear the voice of God. Number one, we hear it through Scripture. When you read the Word of God, all of a sudden comes off the page. It's amazing how you can read the same Scripture at different times in your life, and the application is so different. I got a card this week from a lady who is a widow in our church. And her husband died not too long ago, and Kathy and I felt burdened that we should send her flowers, especially during the Christmas season, because this is a season that's going to be tough. There's an empty chair there in the house, and so we sent her some flowers just to let her know we're praying for her, and we care, and we love her. We got a note back this week, actually, and in the note, it was really interesting. She said, thanks for the flowers, and we appreciated that. But what was more interesting in the car is that she said, I want you to know that my husband has left for me scripture verses that he wrote purposely before he died, and he left them in different drawers around the house, and she slowly discovered them. I would argue God used him to be a voice in her life. Would you agree? That's the voice of God. So we see scripture as a voice. Prayer is another way we hear the voice of God. The problem with prayer is oftentimes you do too much talking, I do too much talking, and we don't do enough listening. God wants to talk back. Prayer is one. The Holy Spirit, God gives us the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us, and the Spirit of God all day long can tell us. Have you ever felt a nudge at work to say, you should help them? Have you ever felt a nudge when you're at a street corner and there's somebody there and they've got a cardboard sign and you're like, I should give them $5? Have you ever had a nudge in your life where you thought, I should call that person because they're in a real situation and I need to call them? That nudge is the Spirit of God in you. That's the voice of God. So the Holy Spirit is one. Godly counsel is another. That's why we invite you to be in small groups, so that you can have the counsel of other people who desire to be godly in their life, that godly counsel, or a mentor. Men, especially you men, find an older man who's got a lot more experience than you and do everything you can to spend time with them. Because in that mentor relationship, God can speak to you. And here's the last one, doors. Doors that God opens and closes. That's the voice of God. That if you're saying, God, I wonder if I should take this job, and maybe the door closes, and you're like, okay, God was speaking in that. So the first thing we learn here in what Jesus is saying is that the sheep recognize his voice. Let's read on. Verse 3. Jump down to verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Wow. God knows you by name. You're not a number. You're not just a person. He knows you by name. And he leads them out. Verse 4, and when he has brought out, circle the word brought out. Those are key words because those two words relate to the blind man in chapter 9. I'll show you how in just a second. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. So not only do the sheep hear his voice, but he calls them by name. And he knows them, and he leads them, and he brings us out only to walk ahead of us. God is many, many steps ahead of us. Here's the second thing that we learn about the sheep. The sheep discover unique blessings. You know, as my boys were getting older and older, I would hear this statement all the time. Dad, that's not fair. Come on, parents, help me out here. Anybody ever hear that, right? It's not fair. And the answer is, it's not fair. And life is not fair. Because we're going to parent you based on who you are. We're going to give you the things that you need based on your, you know, who you are and your personality and so forth. And God knows you by name, and he knows exactly how you need to be blessed. And so God is going to use a unique way of blessing you. And the way he does that is he uses these two words. He brought out. I want you to notice this. In chapter 9, look at this. When they, that's the Pharisees, answered him, that's the blind man. When the Pharisees answered the blind man, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? They're so frustrated because the blind man, if you remember from last week, said, look, I don't know what this guy is, but here's what I do know. I was blind, and now I see. And so then he says, I don't think he's a sinner. And so the Pharisees are very upset, like, you're going to teach us something? And so this is what they do. And they cast him out. The same words here, cast him out, are the exact same words in the original language as in chapter 10, when it says that the Jesus is going to bring us out. The word cast him out here is almost violently. It's not physical. It's violent in the sense that it's very intentional. It was like what happened to me when my oldest son was in middle school. I'll never forget, we were in the kitchen, and he smarted off to my wife. He gave her big lip. And there's one thing that my sons knew, that wouldn't fly. You're not gonna talk to my wife, you're not gonna talk to your mom, who brought you into this world, by the way, you know? And so I grabbed him by the neck. I wasn't harsh, I wasn't mean, but I was intentional. I grabbed him by the neck and I walked him outside. You remember that door between the garage and the kitchen? Yeah, I walked him right outside that door, out to the driveway, and I looked at him while I'm holding him into the neck, and I said, do you wanna live in that house? He said, yes. And I said, well, you will never talk to your mother again like that, because you know what? She's far more important to me than you are. And I like her a whole lot more than you. And so when you've decided that you're never gonna talk to her again like that, you're welcome to come back in. I mean, I was very intentional in bringing him out there. I went back through the door into the kitchen. I locked it. 20 minutes later, he comes knocking on that back door. I unlocked it and I opened it to him, opened the door for him, and had a big smile. And I go, can I help you? He said, Dad, I'm really sorry. And I go, well, you're telling the wrong person. You got to tell your mom. And I said, will you ever do that again? He goes, no. And so I put my arm around him, like violently again, intentionally. I said, come on in. Come on in. Welcome back. And that's the imagery I want you to have. See, this guy here, he was thrown out of the synagogue. And Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my arm around you, and I'm going to bring blessings into your life. I'm going to bring unique blessings just for you. I love you just that much. Come on. That's the imagery that we have in these words. They're absolutely connected because of the story that we find in. And so right here, we see that the sheep discover unique blessings. Jesus throws us into individual blessing that he has planned. I don't know if you're catching this or not, but I want you to hear the fact that the God of the universe knows you by name. And he has blessings that he'll give you just for you because he knows you, he loves you, he understands you, and no matter what you're going through, those blessings are coming at you because you're his sheep. Isn't that awesome? It goes on, look at verse 4. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. You know, the idea of a door is so important to us. And so the third thing the sheep do, the sheep not only discover unique blessings, but they follow him. And the way we follow him is that we look for doors. And so we ask God, would you open a door? You may be here, you might be single, and you're like, I wonder if God's gonna open a door for marriage. So you may be looking around, and you might see a really cute young lady here, guys. And you're probably praying, Lord, would you open that door? Or you might be here, and you might see a really strapping young man, and you're like, you know what? I'm praying that God would open that door. You might be a young couple, and you're wondering, boy, we'd like to get pregnant, and we're hoping that God would do this, and so you're asking that God would open a door. You might be married, and your marriage is in stress, and you might be saying, God, would you open a door for restoration in our lives? You might be praying for a son or a daughter that's wayward, and your prayer is, God, would you open a door into the life of this son or this daughter? You might be going through a job search in your life, and you're wanting, Lord, would you open a door? We all get the idea of the fact that there's a door that we would like to have open. But what's really interesting, if we understand this, that the sheep do three things. They recognize his voice. They discover unique blessings that God has for them. Thirdly, they follow him. But this is really important as we follow him. What we need to understand is that God values holiness in our decisions more than the decisions themselves. That as God opens doors for us, he values holiness in those decisions and the way we follow him more so than even the decisions that we make. That's pretty incredible that we have a God who knows you by name and he wants all of us. And in essence, what we've learned here is that Jesus being the door of the sheep, what we're supposed to do in order to find ourselves in a safe spot, we listen to the voice, we discover unique blessings, and we follow him. Here's the problem. The problem is many of us put this together and we say, if we listen and if we discover our unique abilities and we follow him, that should lead to the abundant life, Jesus says in John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal and to kill, but I've come to give you abundant life. And it's very easy if we're not careful to look at our spiritual life and to say that if we listen and we follow the abundant life, if you live right, then your life should be up and to the right. That your life should just constantly getting better and you should have more money and your relationship should be better and everything should be better. Because isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says that if you live your life right, then your life is going to go up and to the right. The Bible doesn't say that at all. And yet that's the thing that we think about in our Western culture. You see, things are great until they're not. So how do we put that into this whole mix? Well, just for fun, if I can, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? Because I want you to see some people in Hebrews chapter 11 who did the right thing. They lived their life. They did the right thing. And by faith, they did this, and by faith, they did that, and by faith. In fact, many people call this the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. You can actually read it sometime on your own, but let me read. Just drop down to verse 32 for a second. By faith, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, they enforced justice. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Yes! I want to be part of that group. Then we get to verse 35. And it goes like this. Well, there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning and they were sawed in two and they were killed by the sword and they went about in the sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Which one do you want to be part of, group A or group B? What is Jesus saying here when he says, I am the door of the sheep? If you listen to my voice, and if you discover unique blessings, and if you follow me, the Bible isn't saying that our lives will necessarily be up and to the right. What the Bible is saying and what Jesus is saying in relationship to the blind man who saw, and to you and I, is this: we live in a broken world. And the brokenness and suffering are not necessarily because of our sin individually. It's not necessarily because of your sin or mine, although there are consequences to sin. Are you with me, church? But brokenness and suffering are not necessarily because of our sin, but because of our collected sin. It's all of our fault. And so what Jesus is saying here is that our lives, it's better than just simply up and to the right. Because we all know that we go through life and there's broken things and suffering that happens in our life. And so what Jesus is actually saying here, don't miss this. He's saying that if you listen and you discover the unique blessings I have and you follow me, you're gonna have abundant life with Jesus. In other words, no matter what you go through in your life, I'm gonna give you abundant life because I'm gonna be with you. That's worth talking about. You see, Jesus enters into our brokenness and our suffering. No one can ever say, God doesn't care about me. You know why? Because Jesus entered into this world. He was the chief one who suffered. He went to the cross on our behalf. He was beaten and bruised and mocked and jeered and flogged, and he died for you and for me. You cannot say that God doesn't care about you, because God entered into our pain in order that you and I might listen for the voice, discover unique blessings, and follow him so that we can have abundant life with Jesus. You know, there's a great story in the Old Testament. You don't need to turn there because I'm pretty sure you know it. It's about three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were brought into Babylon because of the destruction of Israel. They didn't follow God. They didn't trust God. And so they were brought into Babylon. And the king, he made this big statue, 90 feet tall. And he said, listen, when the band plays and that statue is up and we pull the cloth down, I want everybody, because I want to unify you, I want everybody to bow down. And so when the band gets wound up, you bow down. And that's exactly what happened. The statue went up and the band started and everybody bowed down except three men. That would have been easy for those three guys to say, Lord, would you open a door so that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't see us? Could you open a door so that nobody else sees us? Could you open a door that maybe somebody other people will stand? Could you open a door so that this whole situation doesn't even happen? But that's not what happened. Nebuchadnezzar said, wait, I'm going to give you one more chance. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't need a second chance. And he said, well, then I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace, the furnace that probably made the statue, the furnace that probably was the one that built the bricks and the stones that were there for them. And so here they throw him into the furnace. They heat it up seven times. The guards actually die in throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the flames. And just before they're being thrown into the flames, this is what these three men said to this king, Nebuchadnezzar, who says, if you don't bow down, I'm going to destroy you. So this is what they say. I love it. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, and if God, if the God we serve is he is able to deliver us, God is able to deliver you. God is your door. He's able to help you in your health. He's able to help you in your financial need. He's able to help you in your marriage. He's able to help you if you want to get pregnant. He's able to help you if you're dealing with a son or a daughter. He is able. God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God. We will worship God. That's the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about. That if you listen to his voice and you discover the unique blessings that he has for you and you follow him, Jesus walks with you right in the furnace. That's the abundant life. In other words, you see, the safest place to be is in relationship with Jesus. What would it be like if today you heard the voice of God, just listening to God for a second? Would you bow your heads in all of our campuses and online right here at Centerville? And just for a minute, would you just listen and let God say something to you? As the sheep here today, would you just hear his voice? And then whatever happens this week, would you just try to discover these unique blessings? It's not circumstances. It's not coincidence. They're unique. Father, would you talk to us? Lord, we need to hear from you. We thank you, Lord, that you speak. We thank you that you open doors and close doors. Help us this week to discover the unique blessings that you bring into our lives. Help us to follow you. We thank you, God, that our lives can be about the abundant life, not just when things are going well, but when we find ourselves in the furnace. Because you're there with us. And Lord, because of that, we experience salvation, provision, and protection. And so, Lord, we thank you. Help us, Lord, to find ourselves in the safest place possible because you said, I am the door of the sheep. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.